Today's podcast is brought to you by Security Unlocked, a new podcast from Microsoft focusing on artificial intelligence, machine learning, and security. Check out the links in that description below.
Brad.
Paul.
I've been playing with an eGPU. And it's awesome.
Is it magical?
Yeah, what I'd like to do is use it with my NUC, but as you remember, my NUC was destroyed last year in a lightning storm, and I'm using an older NUC which doesn't support Thunderbolt. Actually, does it? I should look into that, actually, because if it does, I'm going to start using it today. I don't think it, I think it just says USB-C. I'm going to look into that. Anyway, yeah, it's, I will say, unfortunately, it's more expensive altogether than I would have hoped, because you got to buy the enclosure and then you got to buy the graphics card. Super easy to put together, which I can tell because I was able to do it. And it just works. You plug it in. Oh, not if you have a Mac. But if you have a PC, like a normal person, you plug it in and it just works. And when it's plugged in, it uses the, you know, in my case, the GeForce, I think it's an RTX 1080 Ti, maybe 20 something. I don't know. Anyway. And then when you unplug, it's like when you, like a Surface Book, you know, unplug the screen and it has the little built-in GPU. Plug it in, it has the real thing, except the real GPU is actually a real GPU.
So you are about like one step away from realizing that a desktop PC is really what you want in life.
Well, here's the deal. So, yeah, in my configuration, the way I would use this, yes, an actual desktop PC makes more sense. Because I wouldn't take it anywhere. But the reason these exist isn't because you can attach it to a NUC. It's so you can attach it to a laptop, right? And so you could use any Ultrabook. In fact, I got to test this across different machines, but effectively it shouldn't matter. I mean, any modern Ultrabook, I mean, which is just a laptop. It maybe gets, you know, 6 to 12 hours of battery life. It does whatever it does. You use it to do productivity stuff out in the world. But you come home, you dock the thing, right? So it powers it. Obviously, it's a dock. It does all that stuff, and then it's a gaming PC at your desk. You know, I mean, that's in my specific case, I'm ridiculous. I mean, I have my own things, but for most people, this is it's sort of like you know, it's like it's a USB or a Thunderbolt dock that is also like a, you know, awesome gaming PC. So you have all your stuff on one computer. You know what I mean? I know this is all obvious to it. It's probably obvious, but it's one of those things when you experience it, you're like, oh my God, this actually works really well. Like, I'm not used to things working so well, so seamlessly. Like, it just works. Like, it's nice.
So are you using it right now?
No, because I'm using the NUC right now. No, but this is the thing. Like, No, I'm not. And that's something that for this week I've been sort of meaning to switch up. Like I talked to you about, like one day this week I'll probably use the Mac to do like a podcast just to see what the, you know, video quality is like and all that kind of stuff. And plus I need to attach, I've my compatibility testing to date has been a little bit on the lame side in the sense that I did test a bunch of devices, but not always, but most times I only had one of those devices plugged in at a time, right? Because this stupid thing only has two ports. And I didn't want to introduce the level of a specific dock or hub or whatever, because that might be the problem if things didn't work. So my goal was simply to make sure that things worked. But obviously in a real world situation, what you would do is you'd have some kind of a dock or a hub. Everything would be plugged into that. And then you'd have that one plug scenario. So I'm going to do that. But
Have you tried it with a Surface laptop?
No, I've been trying it with real computers. No, I can't because it's Thunderbolt.
Right. It won't work because they don't support Thunderbolt.
Yeah, and Apple's and Microsoft's mad desire to copy Apple as much as possible, they also built in the limitations of the Mac. Although actually it would work. Well, actually it should work on a Mac, right? The Mac
theoretically it could.
But it doesn't, apparently. I'm told it doesn't. But I think there are eGPUs that do work with the Mac,
though. I think there are. Pretty sure there are.
I think this one does not. There are none that work with the M1-based Macs.
Yeah. Well, that's... I mean, considering the M1 doesn't really do dual-screen output right now, that's not all that surprising. I mean... Run two 4K monitors off of that thing. You'd be...
Yeah, I mean, two external monitors. Yeah. I mean, you could have two displays, but one would have to be the internal display.
Yeah. Nobody wants to do that.
Well, not to drag this on and on and on, but I mean, but to be clear, I think the thing that Apple got right with this is these machines are targeting kind of the low end of the market, their market. Mm-hmm. These are their entry level machines in each case. Typical use cases for those people is not going to involve multiple displays. So honestly, for that audience, we'll call them typical users. I think this limitation is not an issue. It's just not going to be a problem for most people. That said, I have no idea why a 2-port MacBook Pro even exists. I think there should, and that's true whether you're talking Intel or M1. I've never understood that. I feel like the word Pro says mm-hmm. meaning, and you're paying extra money for it, $300 extra, by the way. It should have that. That should be the baseline to me. So I've always thought that. I still think that. I just don't understand having a 2-port MacBook Pro. It just seems weird to me.
You know what I don't understand, Paul Thrant?
What's up?
Late last week, I was promised up to 17 inches of snow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Should you take a guess at how much snow we actually got?
Well, so you've received snow since the last time we talked, I guess.
Yeah, right? So we were told, and I have an image of it.
Really? You can't, you got to not take this personally.
I am taking it very personally.
Meteorology is as imprecise as astrology.
Oh, God. Well, that might be a little.
No, think about it. I said it correctly.
Yeah.
It's obviously science, but it's still, right? They always get it wrong.
Yes. Yeah, so it goes back to my trident. Well, actually, it brings up my favorite conspiracy theory of all time that I firmly believe in, is that the weather people are in cahoots with the grocery store chains, and that they hype up the storm so that you run out and buy all the bread and milk, Paul. They hype it up so you buy all the bread and milk.
I don't understand the bread and milk
thing. I don't understand. Like, if I'm in a lockdown, I really don't want bread and milk because neither of those last very long.
I'm sorry. You're going to further emphasize the fact that we're prisoners now? We're going to eat prisoner food?
Yeah.
This is the thing. Like, growing up, right, you always told prisoners, well, not milk, I guess, but bread and water, right?
Yeah. Give me the tomato soups of the world, mm-hmm. like in the cans, whatever. Anyways.
All right, so I'm sorry. We're beating this to death. How much snow did you get?
Generously 4 inches.
I'm sorry, what?
Like four. Not even kidding. So we got a ton of... It wasn't like freezing rain, because freezing rain falls as rain hits the ground and like instantly freezes, and that coats everything. This almost felt like sleet. Like,
yes, that's but it, right. So in the middle of the night, I heard the same thing. It was the tick, 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 tick,
yeah,
tick.
Yeah, we got that for a long, like, and we no joke got like 2 inches of like sleet on the ground, which was sort of incredible because it felt like you were shoveling sand, and that's what it felt like.
Still better than that much ice, because even a quarter of an inch of ice on every surface imaginable, like all the wires, all the tree branches.
We wouldn't be doing this podcast because I'd have no power. Right,
the power would be out, and that's when stuff comes down. And yes, so we avoided the same problem. I woke up in the middle of the night to tick, 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 tick. It was so loud, I thought we put a gate down at the bottom of the stairs so the dog doesn't come up, because her toenails, she's like tick, 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 you know. And I heard that. I thought, man, did Stephanie not put up the gate or something? I think it sounded like the dog.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's sleet or ice, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, God, we're going to be destroyed, you know.
Yeah.
We woke up this morning and first of all, it's going to be 45 degrees today. It's going to be beautiful.
The other thing, 45?
I know. I looked at the line. It's going to go back down and up.
You know what it is right now?
Like 3.
14.
Yeah. No, we've had that weather. I mean, we've had days. I've walked, dude, this week. It's been 18
degrees. Yeah, but I'm further west than you. Like I should get the beauty before you do.
Colorado is further west than me, too. They're getting snow. Anyway.
Well, they've got elephants.
Texas got snow, dude. I mean,
yeah,
this is just winter. I mean, I just here's the good news on the horizon, and this has to be true for you too. Go to weather.com, put in your address or whatever, and what you will see is by the end of the month, and we're already in the second half of the month, all of a sudden the temperatures normalize to the 40s, mm-hmm. right? And so we've got like over 2 feet of snow out there still. It's kind of compacted down or whatever, but and then giant mountains where it's been plowed, but I feel like, you know, it's going to, I feel like there's an end in sight, you know?
So here's what my weather says right now. First off, it says outside. It's outside right now. It says 14 degrees and haze.
Yeah, we have lots of fog this morning, actually. It was beautiful. The walk today was beautiful.
Tomorrow, 23 freedom units. Thursday, fantastically, more snow, 30 degrees. Okay. Although this weekend, which doesn't make as much sense, it's supposed to be 37 and 37 on Sunday, something like that. Mm-hmm. Warmest and more snow.
How does the 28th look?
Too far away.
I don't know. It's 2 weeks.
Is it?
Yeah, not even.
The things that aren't too far away are those links down in the description where you can check out the new podcast from my friends over at Microsoft, Nick and Natalia, because they have a new podcast called Security Unlocked, where they take a closer look at the latest innovations in threat intelligence, security research, and data science, with a special focus on demystifying artificial intelligence and machine learning. On episode 10, you can check out Under the Hood, ensuring firmware integrity, because that is honestly a pretty important topic, and it's quite a deep dive, honestly. You should go check that out with links down in that description.
So I suppose if we were to go back and watch or listen to old episodes of the show, which, by the way, no one would ever do, especially us, we would discover that this show devolves into weather weekly.
Oh, I'm sure.
In the winter, right? It must. This must be just the normal, because you become obsessed by the stuff when you're stuck inside and everything. But
yeah, well,
but there is stuff going on in the world.
There is.
Which I've not written about yet, because I've been busy writing up this thing about future versions of Windows that will be up soon. But Office app is available on the iPad.
Yes, it is.
The single app, which is kind of cool. And what was the other big one? Oh, this isn't that big. The new Samsung Chromebook, which is called what? I think it's called Galaxy Chromebook 2, is available for pre-order today. That actually looks kind of a cool machine, but the red version anyway. I don't know. How much is this stupid thing?
Great.
I will write this up this morning.
It was almost as good as nothing buying essential. Which, if you understand that headline, that's
interesting.
Yeah. So, anyways, for people who don't know, that's a co-founder of OnePlus,
right,
started a new company called Nothing, and they bought the remnants of the essential company. Was that Andy Rubin's company?
That's right. Yep.
And so now they have Nothing Essential.
So, by the way, Essential has no assets. This company was dissolved a year ago this week, I think. The only asset it has then is its name, the brand, right? So that it's the name Essential plus probably the logo, whatever the logo looked like. I can't even remember it. But why would you want this asset or such as it is? I don't know. Nothing is a terrible name. It's a terrible name. Essential is actually a good name.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the hope here is that few people remember Essential. And so it will seem like a new thing. Maybe they're going to use that name.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe. We'll essentially find out, I guess.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then Intel's new CEO officially took over, is that yesterday? Is this his first day on the job?
Yep.
I wonder how that new employee orientation. You think they make him sit in a conference room with everybody else with their laptop, like filling out, like, here's your
sexual health
forms
and I assume he's already plotting his exit. I like the guy from what I've seen of him. He seems like a straight shooter kind of guy. Intel obviously needs an engineer type running the company. You know, we'll see. We the challenges at Intel are well understood.
Do you see Michael Dell's tweet when he left? Well, so Pat was running VMware, which was effectively a part of Dell at one point, I think. I don't know if they spun him out. I can't remember that.
The holy unholy trinity of Dell, EMC, and VMware, however those things link up.
He effectively said, like, hey, I liked working with you, and I like working with you. So it's like nothing's really – I mean, obviously Dell and Intel are, you know, tied at the hip just like many other manufacturers, so – it's just a slightly different meeting, I guess.
Well, I'm sure from a PC maker perspective, there's a little bit of angst over the M1 stuff, and I get that. But the bigger concern, as I keep saying, is the data center. And from Dell's perspective, they do data center hardware, obviously, but also EMC and VMware, right? I mean, figuring out the data center, to me, seems like the more pressing concern, I would say at Intel. Yeah. That's...
yeah, we'll see. Well, he's got a, I'm sure he presented a plan before he took over, and now you kind of got to execute that plan to the board or whatever, something like that.
I think. Do you think he just, or did he just have like a heartbeat? I don't know. I don't know what the qualification was there, you know?
Well, they didn't call me, so that's unfortunate, because I would have.
Well, I guess they wanted this guy for years, right? Yeah, I think they've been trying to get him for a couple of years now, so.
They did what they finally did. Gave him a whole bunch of money.
Yeah. Yep. Just do something right.
So, anyway, today's podcast is brought to you by Security Unlocked. You can find links down in the description below or go to securityunlockedpodcast.com.